James chapter 2, let's read the first 9 verses. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly, your synagogue, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, the nice clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, a chief seat, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors. Verse 1, he says, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of person. And what James in this whole book is dealing with, emphasizing, is faith without works is dead. So what he speaks of, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about the life that he lived, the walk of faith, the way that Christ lived as a man before God and before men. His life was a life of good works. He went about, Scripture says, doing good for the glory of God, for the good of others, with no respect of persons. None whatsoever. And verse 8, he said, if you fulfill this royal law, love your neighbor as yourself, with no respect to persons, no partiality to any. Do not show favoritism, no preference to some over others because of whatever. Then you do well. Our Lord, Scripture says, judged not according to the sight or the hearing. He judged righteous judgments. Now this is a good lesson in life and in spirit. We're not to judge according to the sight of our eyes, judge by material or material possessions or what a man owns, the things that he has, or in physical differences, the way someone is dressed and so forth. No prejudice, either for or against. No prejudice. In the body of Christ, this is what Scripture teaches us clearly. In the body of Christ, there's no rich or poor. In fact, we're all poor. Though we may think we're rich, though we say, that's what he said to the Laodiceans, didn't he? You say you're rich and increased with good, and you don't realize you're poor. But in the body of Christ, there's no rich or poor, no great or small, no significant or insignificant, no important or unimportant. There's no black, no white, no male, no female. This is what's called equity. Not inequity, but equity. We're all a bunch of sinners, saved by grace. Christ is the Lord. There's only one in our midst who's worth anything in himself. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So James uses this illustration. Suppose two men walk into our assembly. Two men walk into our synagogue, our church house. One is rich, one is wealthy. It's obvious from his clothing, from his apparel. And maybe somebody well known. Usually people that are rich are well known. Influential people. People with some kind of status in the community. Maybe an office, a position that they hold. And another man walks in and he's very poor. It's obvious from his clothing and nobody knows him. He's a nobody. And we say to the rich man, to the well-known person, to the person of influence, the person who's somebody in the community, because of his wealth, because of his or her influence, we say to them, well, it's good to have you. Sit down here and everybody just makes over that person. At the same time, we kind of ignore the poor fellow. You know, he slips in, sits on the back row, and nobody pays any attention to him. Our Lord says that's evil. It's evil. We've become a judge by appearance and not as our Lord who looks on the heart. You know, what a lesson this is, because the Pharisees looked moral and looked righteous and dressed just right and talked just right, and everybody esteemed them highly, but the Lord, they were an abomination to him. And he called them all a bunch of hypocrites. And our Lord says this way of thinking is evil. We become a judge by appearance, a judge of our thoughts. Our judgments are evil. Our judgments that we make are evil, or a judgment according to appearance and not on the heart. And this is a good lesson, isn't it? To not cater to the rich and the famous because of influence, because of favors that they can show us or give us. The people of God are not to enlist the aid. Listen to me. The people of God are not to enlist the aid of the world's rich and famous, the wealthy and important people of this world, to further the cause of Christ. If we do that, we reveal our utter ignorance. Our utter ignorance of what is truly needful. And I thought about this, you know, as preacher and people, we're not to have this kind of way of thinking toward the world, toward the well-known, toward the rich. We should not, as preacher, me as a preacher, you as people, should not cater to the rich and famous, the well-known. As a preacher, if I seek to please men, Scripture says, I'm not the servant of Christ. If I'm catering to anyone of influence or of wealth in order to reap from them, for gain for this church, that's evil, isn't it? I'm not a truth called preacher if that be the case. Can't be. If that be the case, if I'm real conscious of somebody well known or rich or somebody that could maybe do us, so to speak, some favors, I will tone down the message, won't I? I will try not to be offensive to that person so that they won't leave and we lose their money. That's just not the case with God's true preacher. Cannot be conscious of the rich or the influential, or else we'll tone down the message so as not to offend. You know, if anything, if our message does not offend the natural man, the person who comes in here first time, we've not said it clearly enough. Did you hear me? That's a fact. Barnard used to say, preach for a verdict. Preach so clearly. Preach so plainly that when people hear you, they'll know what you said and they'll go away with one of three reactions. They'll be mad, sad, or glad. they hear it clearly enough. I know one time Dad got a letter from someone, a TV hearer, and the woman, I think it was, said to him, she said, "You know, you and Jimmy Swaggart are my two favorite preachers." And Dad read that, and I remember him saying to us men, said, "I'm not preaching clear enough. I'm not saying it clear enough. I need to be more clear now." Because you need to see and hear the difference. So as a preacher, if I'm conscious of the rich and influential, I'll try to tone down the message. If I acknowledge, if I court the rich, saying that they are, that we need them, that we can use what they have, I'm ignorant of God. Ignorant of God. Over in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14. I didn't write it down, but I think that this is where it's found. Abraham, the king of Sodom, wanted to give him. Yeah, Genesis 14. Look over there with me. Genesis 14. You remember when Abraham came and rescued Lot from the battle of Chedorlaomer, and actually Abraham rescued many, even the king of Sodom. You remember that's such a type of Christ being the Savior of the world, but especially them that believe. That is, everyone and everyone owes their life and breath to our God, but He especially saves His people, like Lot. But the king of Sodom, after Abraham rescued all of them, and this is the great story of Melchizedek coming. What a chapter. But verse 21, the king of Sodom was so grateful to Abraham, he said to Abraham, "You give me the persons, you give me Lot and those you rescued, you take the goods, you take all the spoils." And Abraham said, verse 22, Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. The cattle on a thousand hills are His. All the gold and silver and all the mines belong to Him. What you have, He gave to you." Now, I don't need what He's saying. I don't need what you have to give me. Read on. He said, verse 23, "I will not take a thread, a shoe latchet. I'll not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I've made Abraham rich." No. God provides all our needs. God provides all our needs. Here's a way you can distinguish the true church from the false. False religion is always having all kinds of fundraisers. And they say things like this: "God needs your money. He can't do anything without you. He has no hands but yours. He needs your money. And won't you help God out?" That's abomination. That's saying, not God's people. Ever. Never. We never elicit the favor of, the influence of, the money of, the riches of, the world. They don't have anything we need. Now here's wisdom. Here's our true attitude. But we have what they need. They don't have anything we need. We cannot benefit from anything anybody that comes in here has to offer to us. But they can sure benefit from what we have. Like Simon Peter said, and James and John went to the temple that day, and there was a beggar sitting there, and he asked him for alms. And Simon Peter, they were poor. Our Lord didn't give them pockets full of money. They didn't give money to anybody. Our Lord was, He owned all the riches in the world, but He never gave a dime to anybody. What does that tell you about what we really need? When the Lord could have made every single poor person fabulously wealthy, He never gave them a dime. Peter, Simon Peter said to that man, he said, "Silver and gold have we none." That's not what you need. But such as we have, We give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Our Lord, who is wisdom, never gave a dime. And that's, you say what he gave, he provided money for taxes. He told Peter, go down and cast the hook and get out. And it was no more, no less, was it? Didn't make them rich, just paid their taxes. Where are you going to come up with this year's taxes? Mindy and I right now are wondering, where are we going to get this money?
Why would you worry about it now?
Been provided every year. You don't have to resort to anything. Well, and as a people, as a church, as I said, it reveals our ignorance if we believe that the world can do us any favors, that men have what we need. That reveals our ignorance of the one thing needful. And of our God who supplies all our needs. That reveals our ignorance. I remember one time somebody saying to a pastor, he brought a rich man to the service, and he said, our church can help our church a great deal. No, he can't. But our church can sure help him. The Lord is pleased. And so it's evil to, and here's an evil attitude, to want the rich and the famous, for the Lord to save the rich and the famous, as opposed to the poor and the nobodies, for gain. That's the evil in them. In other words, well, I'm not going to say it, but maybe my neighbor will listen to this, but I got some poor neighbors and got some real rich ones. Who would I prefer the Lord to save? Better examine my heart. And I want the Lord to save them all and have talked to them all. And many of them have come here. But who did the Lord choose?
Lazarus or the rich man?
Who did he choose? Lazarus. So this is what he's telling us. This is what our Lord did. This is how our Lord acted. No respect of persons. To say that God, to seek the aid of the world's rich and famous, to court their favor and the wealthy and so forth, is to say that God is a respecter of persons, that God can benefit, that God needs people. That's to deny the faith, to say that God needs people. It is to deny that God supplies everything. To court people, the rich, is to deny. That's hard to say together. To deny that God provides all our need. It's not men. It's God that's providing our need. When the church in Ashland started on the television back in the early 80s, the cost was astronomical. Even back then, something like $1,000 a week back in the early 80s. A vast sum of money then and now. It'd be five times that now. But they trusted the Lord, and they never had one single appeal for money, ever. The church doesn't do that. You won't find it in the Scriptures. False religion does that. That's how you know them. That's why they're doing it. And the preacher preaches accordingly. But not the true church. It's a denial of the faith. It's a denial of the truth of blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. Hath not God chosen? Look at verse in our text. It says, hath not God chosen, verse 5, the poor of this world? Literally, I mean, they were literally poor. Those were the ones that our Lord chose, the literal poor. Now, not all were poor, thank God. We better say that. Thank God it's not Doesn't say not any wise, mighty, or noble, not any rich, doesn't it? He says it's harder for a rich man to go into the kingdom of God than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, thank God he does choose some rich, doesn't he? Thank God. Man like, well, Paul Thacker, the Lord, that man, you know, the Lord gave him made him wealthy in the construction business and saved him. And oh my, he put his money where his mouth was. He built the church in Pikeville, Kentucky. You know that story, don't you? You know where that money came from, don't you? Lord sent a flood through Pike County, Kentucky. Wiped out every bridge in Pike County, Kentucky. A flood, a disaster. A plague, as it were. And Paul got the contract to build all those bridges. And with the money that the Lord, that he got from those bridges that the Lord wiped out, he built a church. And he went down there to preach. And the Lord raised up Tom Harding, and the rest is history. Blessed are the poor. The poor are the only ones that need the gospel preached to them, don't they? To court the rich and the famous and the people of this world for whatever reason is a denial of the power of God and the Spirit of God to save sinners. It's to say that salvation is for sale. It's to say that salvation is for the high and the mighty and the noble and the rich and the famous. No, no, no. It's for the poor. It's for nobodies who have nothing. And I don't want to do that as a preacher, and we need not do that as a people, as a church. I remember this, and it still bothers me. One time when I was a very young preacher, maybe the first year or two I was here, and a preacher from this community came to visit us and brought another man that everybody knew. And a young 34-year-old preacher, you know, I acknowledged him and that man before everybody. And I remember your dad's face, Stephen. I remember your dad looking at me with such disappointment. He looked at me like he was disappointed in me. And that bothers me to this day. It bothers me to this day. I wish I'd never done it. I wish I'd take it back. So, that's what he's telling us. James chapter 2. So, don't, with respect to persons, oh my. Did not he say in the first chapter, verse 9, look at this. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted, but the rich and he's made low. There are some who are rich in the world's goods. And yet the Lord reveals to them, in mercy and grace, He reveals to them, they have nothing. They're a nothing and a nobody from nowhere. And what they need is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, that rich person should rejoice that God revealed to them the truth. That they got a good look in the mirror. And don't forget it. Because you're going to lose it all. Anyway. And to the poor, to the lowly, rejoice in that you may not have much of this world's goods. That's okay. Our Lord did not either. But oh, if you have Christ, you have it all. Isn't that where this all started? It's where it all started. And so He says to us, remind us, don't. You know, you say you have faith, you're following Christ. Christ didn't do this. Preference of person and so forth. Now there are three types of rich, and let me close with this. The three types of rich, so-called rich, in the world. The rich thinks, the people think they're rich. There are those that are rich in material things. But you know what the Scripture says? There's he that hath riches and yet hath nothing, the proverb says. There's he that hath riches and yet hath nothing. You know why you're not rich when you have the things of this world? If that's the only so-called riches you have, you know why it won't enrich you? Because it's vanity. It doesn't enrich your life at all. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. In fact, our Lord said, it's better to have little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure. And what do you have when you have great treasure? What do you have with great treasure? The more you have, what do you have? Trouble. Worry. Got to work harder to pay for it. You got to have more to keep more, don't you? And then you worry about it. If you have something new, you don't want to scratch on it. Right? Well, if you have something, you can lose it. If you can lose it and not, you know, not bother you too bad, then that thing didn't make you rich, did it? True riches are love, joy, peace, righteousness. You know, the whole world wants to be happy. The whole world wants to be happy.
Nothing, no earthly thing can make you happy. Nothing.
Only Christ. Blessed is the man who trusteth in Christ, who believeth Christ, whom Christ is all to. If he hath Christ, he realizes, she realizes, all I need is food and raiment. Just to keep my body clothed and to keep food in my belly. And what I really need is Christ. If I have Him, I can lose everything and not lose anything. Because everyone's going to lose everything. It can't make you happy if you lose it, can it? And that's why people worry about the thoughts of losing it. The Lord wrote, well, this whole book is about that, the vanity of the things of this world. But he had Solomon have it all. He had Solomon experiment with everything in Ecclesiastes. And his conclusion, and Solomon was a preacher, and he said, this is my conclusion, people. Listen to me now. I had it all. It's vanity. None of it. So none of it will satisfy. Won't do it. But he says, I tell you this, Christ, through his wisdom, will satisfy. Nothing else will. There's wisdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, by faith, walked by faith. Scripture says he had no place to lay his head. Or did he? His head was lying on the bosom of his Father at all times. No. That's the faith I want in you. So we don't need the riches of this world, but the world needs the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he said that, hath not God chosen the poor, verse 5, the poor, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called, hath not God chosen, who were our Lord's intimate friends and companions at all time? Who did our Lord Jesus Christ spend all his time with? Sinners, publicans, and harlots, the low street people. That's right. That's right. And what does that tell us? Huh? I mean, Christ came to the world to save sinners. And like I said, there's three types of rich people: those that are materially rich, and that's not riches. That's not riches at all. Then there's those that are rich in talents and in ability. Think they are. Oh, my. My. Knowledge puffeth up. Ability makes someone proud, not look to God, not thankful for the grace of God. Just the fact of the matter, you won't find many doctors and lawyers and senators and professors and well-known people in the world, athletes and so forth, in the church house. It's just a fact. God doesn't choose many of them. The rich didn't need that poor rabbi when he was here. Those Pharisees, they didn't need him. Look at him. He's poor. He can't contribute to our coffer, He can't contribute to our money. Well, you're ignorant. You're blind. The beautiful saw no beauty in him. The beautiful people saw no beauty in this brown-skinned Jewish fellow with common garments. What's he got to offer our church?
Oh, my. If you only had him in there, he wouldn't need anybody else.
See how our sight, our judgment's so poor? The knowledgeable, those that thought they knew something. There's those that are rich in knowledge and righteousness and morality and works, like the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers and the doctors. They thought they knew something. They don't need this poor rabbi. He only speaks in one syllable words. What can he teach us? This carpenter. Oh, my. The religious didn't need him. The righteous didn't need him. What do I need with him? You need everything that he has, because you have nothing. Oh, but the poor, when they saw him, the ugly, when they saw Christ, they said, he's altogether lovely. A poor sinner, like that woman guilty, caught in the act of adultery, boy, she thought he was the most beautiful man on earth. The sinful desperately need Christ's blood to pay for their sins. The unrighteous, they need Christ's righteousness to cover them. Theirs are filthy rags. The ignorant, they need Him to be wise for them. By His knowledge, they need Him to justify them, His knowledge of the law. So if God chooses the poor, should not we? And but don't do this either. We shouldn't be guilty of this, judging a rich man, rejecting him. Let me ask you this in closing. We're going to start a church here. We're going to start a church. Who would we want to start it with? A banker or a harlot? This reveals our true understanding. Well, we're trying to build here a community service building, a family life center, or a place where sinners can hear the gospel and have the soul saved. Huh? See? Harlots need this. The banker does too, but that's who the Lord came for. That's who the Lord came for. And I remember Brother Todd Nybert, he was just a student at UK. He started preaching and they opened up a little building. They wanted to open up a place to preach the gospel. And so they chose the roughest place in town. They chose a place where it's kind of like a ghetto. And he thought, his thinking was, well, you know, the harlots are there, literally there. And that's where we'll go. And that's where we'll set up our little building. And they'll come in. And well, he also found this out, that even the drunks and the harlots are self-righteous. Because they would come in. It'd be a drunk stumbling in the service every now and then. And while he's preaching, and Todd preaching that God's holy and man's nothing and man is unrighteous and a filthy rags is righteous and you're a sinner in need of God's mercy and grace and God, you don't have anything that make you acceptable to God. That God, you have nothing that God needs. There's no way you can, that you're no good, your thoughts, you're totally depraved, you're a sinner through and through by nature, by practice, by choice, and you're going to have to be saved by the mercy and grace of God. Well, that old drunk came up to him after the service and said, I ain't as bad as some people. Self-righteousness. They all need it. Rich, poor. And my. And you know, here's what, and let me close with this. It says in verse 6 and 7, you despise the poor. If you act this way, you despise the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? In other words, the rich and the famous of this world, they don't give God any credit for that. If God's people are rich, they do. They give Him all the credit for, all the glory for. They have anything. They say, by the grace of God, I have what I have, am what I am. But the rich people of this world, they take all the credit for it. When the Scripture says, God maketh rich, Hannah's prayer said, the Lord maketh rich, the Lord maketh poor, the Lord raiseth up, the Lord casteth down. Promotion cometh not from man or from thee, it cometh from God. And demotion, God does all these things. So the rich blaspheme God. They take glory to themselves. And if the truth be known, most riches are obtained by fraud, corruption, crime, or inheritance. And if you inherit it, you shouldn't take any credit whatsoever for. And isn't that a good illustration? That salvation's by inheritance. We don't earn it. We get it by the rights and the merit of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. We inherit it. We're joint heirs with Him. And so, and James says this, they draw you before the judgment seat. If you have a rich landlord and he owns several pieces of property, miss a payment. Miss a monthly payment and see what happens. My sister used to wait tables. My daughter did too. And they said the worst tippers in the world, the most greedy and miserly, the ones that were the most demanding and rude to them were the rich and the religious. They both said if a bunch of church ladies came in their finery, they knew they weren't going to get much at all. Well, God sees through that, doesn't He? So, with faith, concerning faith, the walk of faith, oh my, let's judge righteous judgment like our Lord, not by the side of the eye. Okay.